Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spot London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them every month at the Canal Café Theatre.
This story was told by Colin Blatt in March 2010.
Where the theme was lost and found.
When I was offered the chance to work for a PR company, writing copy for British Telecom's in-house magazine, I felt that this was the job that would finally make my mother proud. Although I loved my current position as a part-time manager of the Oxfam shop in Goodge Street, it was not why I'd gone to university. So, on my last day, after my charity shop friends had got me a card and a cake, they all clubbed together to kit me out for this exciting new career. Sadly, there was nothing on the rails in exactly my size, but between them they found a pair of grey trousers that were only slightly too big. Admittedly, quite a large jacket, which I thought gave me that kind of art school look, and a big pair of red braces to stop my trousers falling down. Thinking back, I guess I looked like Coco the Clown, but it was the 80s, I was young, and when I arrived for my first day at work, I actually felt quite dapper. Turned out to be a day of disappointments all round. I, for instance, hadn't expected the offices of the PR company to consist of a couple of rooms in a semi-derelict office block by the side of the M4 flyover. Nor had I expected my boss to look like Sue Pollard out of Heidi High, or her assistant to look quite so upset to see me. But, you know, first day, new job, make an effort. So I made polite conversation. And they told me all about the job and the fantastic bloke who used to do it before me. They told me how talented he was, and how popular he was, and how good-looking and witty and charming he was, and how sorry everyone had been to see him leave. Which was fine, and then they gave me a desk and a typewriter, and come in tomorrow and we'll go for lunch with a client, and you know, it all seemed okay. No clouds on my horizon. It didn't dawn on me until the next day, when we were pulling up at the client's offices, that I actually had no idea of what I was supposed to do or say or anything about PR or even who we were meeting. Of course, by this time, it was too late to back out, so I shook hands with the client, shook hands with the client secretary, and then watched Sue Pollard and the other one for clues. Turns out I need to worry. Not only did the client and I support the same football team, we actually grew up within 20 miles of each other. So after about, you know, 20 minutes worth of chat, he's like my new best mate. And we're shown to our table for lunch. So we sit down next to each other and he orders a gin and tonic and I order a vodka and tonic. And when the waiter goes over to the other three, they order a mineral water and a mineral water and a mineral water. Yes. It's not like I didn't notice the dirty looks my colleagues were throwing at me. It's just that for possibly the first time since I'd actually started this job, I was actually having a good time. And although I'm still not quite sure who this client is, I know he's pretty high up. Possibly even the chairman of the board. So when he's ordering the wine and he says, "You'll help me out if I get a bottle, won't you?" I say, "Yes, of course I will." I thought the meal went brilliantly. I really did. It was great. We discussed our favourite films. His secretary chipped in with the books that she liked. I was now best mates with the boss, which had to make me way more popular than the last chap. Oh, yeah. I was in. We both had a pudding wine. I hadn't spilt anything or knocked anything over. I honestly thought I'd got away with it. Until he ordered the after-dinner coffees and the brandies. Of course, by the time I got back to the car, I knew I was in trouble. But I reckoned that if I just closed my eyes and pretended to be asleep, I wouldn't have to talk to anyone until I had a chance to straighten out a bit. When we arrived back at the office, my colleagues woke me up by opening the car door I'd been sleeping against. So I fell out. And even after three more cups of coffee and most of a packet of bourbons, the rest of the afternoon was a total write-off. So I went home. I was pretty much on time the next morning, give or take, but I noticed there was now a bit of an atmosphere in the office. So I thought I'd go and make myself a cup of tea. And as luck would have it, I bumped into the photocopier repairman. Turned out he was a really nice chap, and as I was in no hurry to go back, we must have spent a good hour or two chatting and smoking. So when I got back to the office, it was pretty much time for lunch. Which was great, except a couple of hours later, I realised that it was quite a long walk to the nearest cafe, quite a lot longer than I'd anticipated, and now I did sense that something was different. I was invited to join Sue Pollard in the side office, and there, staring right at me, was a man I'd never seen before, who turned out to be the big boss. He asked me how it was going, and I said, not bad. And then I asked how he thought it was going. Not so good, as it turned out. Apart from the fact I hadn't managed yet to arrive on time, and I got drunk with a most important client, his main point seemed to be that I didn't fit in very well, and that so far I didn't seem to do any work either. Slight problem. So I said I understood. I almost certainly called him sir, and for the rest of the afternoon I did nothing but sit at my desk and type. Obviously it wasn't my fault I was late the next day. Someone had thrown themselves under the tube, an option was beginning to seem more attractive as the days went on, but I knew what I had to do. So I rolled up my sleeves, I rolled a new sheet of paper into the typewriter, and I typed. I typed all day, pretty much without a break. Not altogether sure what I typed, but I sat there and I typed. I typed, I typed, I typed, I typed, I typed till home time. And on Friday morning, I was on time. I typed loads. I made some phone calls. I made everyone a cup of tea. And it was all going so well, I even thought I'd take a lunch break. Which was obviously my mistake. Because when I came back, I was once again invited into the side office. This time they didn't ask me how I thought it was all going. Instead, the big boss slid a brown envelope across the desk. In that envelope are your week's wages, plus another week's in cash in lieu of notice. If you sign this piece of paper to say you have no further claim on us, you can take it and never have to come back again. I looked at the envelope. And I looked at Sue Pollard, and I looked at the boss, and I signed the paper. Before I left, I asked them why they wanted me to go. So they told me. They said they didn't think I fitted in, but most importantly, they didn't think that my suit fitted. So at 2:30 on a wet Friday afternoon, I turned my back on PR and headed off to a travel agent's, where I spent all of the cash, apart from a couple of pints, on a return flight to Thailand. I didn't find myself out there, just spent 6 months drinking beer and chatting to strangers. But I did make one promise that I've kept this day. I would never again do any job that meant I had to wear a suit.
For more stories, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates.
Audio production by Matt Hill at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.